Okay, thank you. It's so wonderful to be here. And it's really the highlight of what I do as the president of Yeshiva University is to have a chance to address our incredible student body, to have a chance to speak Torah with you and to speak about life with you. You know, it certainly infuses me with great meaning in this position, and I'm really happy to have to be invited to join you this evening. You know, this evening is obviously clothed in a sense of expectation for tomorrow. Tomorrow is Asar B'Teves, and we're fasting for the Churban. It's very interesting machlokas what we're fasting for. Anybody remember the machlokas? What is it that we're fasting for when you fast in Teves? Anybody remember? So there are two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion is that we're fasting because it was the time where the siege took place around Jerusalem. It was the beginning. It augured the oncoming of the breach and ultimately the destruction. The other opinion is that when people started hearing about the Churban, it was the last part. It was people hearing about it. It was either the very beginning or is at the very end. You know, and what I want to talk to you about tonight is very much about being the beginning and being at the end and where we stand ourselves in history. You know, one of the exciting experiences I've had as being president of Yeshiva University just happened about 2 weeks ago. So 2 weeks ago, I was in Yerushalayim, and I was invited to light the second candle of the menorah at the Kotel. I don't know if you've seen the video. Do you see the video? Does it make it around? So it was really an incredible experience. Naftali Bennett, they had the Rosh Hashanah light the first candle, and then on the second night, it was me and the Sar HaDatot, the religious affairs minister, light the second night's candle. And the whole experience was, you know, so miragesh, it was so moving. You know, being at the foot of Har HaBayit, at the time of Hanukkah, where the Maccabim literally were, and to represent the Gesher, which is Yeshiva University, the bridge between Israel and the Tfutzot, between Israel and the diaspora, and to speak to the country live on national television. Now, I have to tell you, they didn't tell me that it was going to be live national television at the time. That was a good nuance there that they only added later. But that whole experience of being the Netzig, of being the representative for the Tfutzot and the diaspora and what Yeshiva University is really about, you know, being that tie, was very powerful. But it was even another experience that was tied to that, which I haven't yet spoken about, is what happened the next day. So the next day, they said to me that night, they said, do you want to see the new, we just opened up, they said the day before when the Rosh Hashanah was there, they showed him the new Kotel tunnels that they haven't opened up yet. So do you want a tour of the new area? And have you seen the building on the back of the plaza? You know what I'm saying? There's a whole new building? Okay. So from that building at the back of the plaza to the Kotel, so that's a pretty far distance, they have dug out the entire underneath. From that building, the back of Gaza, to the Kotel. It's all dug out underneath. I said, do you want to see what's under there? So they took me on a tour the next day. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. It's like a lost city. You walk down into 2,000 years in history. 2,000 years in history. And they have excavated the whole thing. So it's like the lost city of Jerusalem after the Churban. And you walk on the streets that they walked on 2,000 years ago. And you see the storefronts and the small, you know, theater-like, semicircular benches. It was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And it was a real sense of history coming alive. You know, and that's spirit, you know, is so much of what Asar Batavis is about, but so much of what we're doing and what we're about. And that's what I want to talk to you about, Torah Tzion. You know, one of our core Torah values, you might have heard there are five core Torah values. Did you hear that? So what is Torah Tzion? What is Torah Tzion about? So to get there, what I want to do is I want to walk you through a little bit of the Parsha. If you look at on Parshas Vayechi, you start Parshas Vayechi, page Kuf Lamed Vav in these wonderful Chumashim. Kuf Lamed Vav. And, you know, it's Parshas Vayechi is the culmination of Sefer Bereshit. It's the end of Sefer Bereshit. It's the last Parsha that we're about to read. And let's read a little bit together, and we'll talk about what is it that we see. Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim shva asrei shana. Vayehi yemei Yaakov shnei chayav sheva shanim v'arba'im u'ma'at shana. And Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim 17 years. And the whole expanse of his life was 147 years. Vayikrevu yemei Yisrael lamus. Vayikra livno liyosef. And Yisrael was close to his death. And he called to his son Yosef. Vayomer lo, and he says to him, Imna matzasi chayim ba'inecha, simna yadcha tachas yirechi, v'sisa imadi chesed ba'emes, al na tikbarina b'mitzrayim, v'shachavti im avosai, v'nesasim im mitzrayim, u'kvartim b'kvur asam. And he made Yosef take a shvua, swear that he's going to bury him not in Mitzrayim, but bring him up to Israel to be buried. Beginning of Memchet, Vayi achrei advar meila vayomer li Yosef hinei avicha chole veikach shnei benav imot Menashe et Ephraim veigid li Yaakov, and it was told to Yaakov vayomer hinei bencha Yosef va'elacha v'itchazek Yisrael v'yeshev al amita. So just reading these psukim, any questions come to mind to you when you read through these psukim? Anything peculiar? So, who is the name of the person who's the focus of these psukim? Who's the name of the person? Yaakov. So, just let's start in Perek Memchet. Your father is sick. And they told Yaakov, and Yisrael was mitchazek, strengthened. There is a continuous switch between Yaakov and Yisrael. Who is it that these children are coming to? Is it Yaakov or is it Yisrael? And when does the Torah choose each one? Have you heard anything? Tell me, when is Yaakov, when is Yisrael? Any thoughts? When does he use Yaakov? When does the Torah use Israel? It's not obvious. Yeah. It's a good Forest Hills, but there was a good Forest Hills wedding last night. I told everyone, I said, we have in Stern College right now, in the four rows in which I used to daven at the Young Israel Forest Hills, I have David Kaufman, Winokur, Feldman, I think there was a fourth. Just in our four... Oh, Whitaker, also. Whitaker and Whitaker, I think. Is Whitaker here? Ayala is. So we have, that's close. Arnold. We're in that row. Arnold's in that. Was in that, yeah, that was like one of those four rows. So Arnold, Kaufman, I think it was Whitaker?
No.
So that's how small our world is. Not just in one shul. But I used to daven in the Young Israel Forest Hills. In the five rows of where I davened, we have like five students or our grandchildren. And it's like such a family. And last night we had such a great wedding. Whitaker, Aryeh, Kibbutz? That was awesome. Yes, but you were saying. I digress.
I remember hearing an idea that Yaakov, like the name Yaakov is used, but it's like more about Yaakov's like personal journey, and that Yisrael is used that in being like giving birth to a nation.
Amazing. And I love the way you said it. Yaakov, about your personal journey, and Yisrael, about giving birth to a nation. So look at, like, think of it in that context of what's going on. That Yaakov was about to die. And Yosef, his son, comes, Ve'yegeid le'Yaakov, and he tells it to Yaakov, and then Ve'yitchazek Yisrael. And then let's look what happens. Vayomer Yaakov al Yosef, and Yaakov, the father, Yaakov, Yosef's father, says to him, Kel Shekai Nira Lai Beluz Beretz Kanaim Ve'Berechoti. Hashem appeared to me in Luz and blessed me. Vayomer Elai, Hineni Mafrecha V'Bisicho Nesaticho Kalamim V'Nesati Zaretz Azosa Zarecha Achrecha Zuz Olam. I'm going to give to you this land for a future possession. Va'ata Shnei Banecha Nolodim Lecha Beretz Mitzrayim Abuvi Lecha Mitzrayim. Lihem, all those years that you were separated from me, Yosef, the two sons that you had, they are like mine, Ephraim and Manasseh, they're like Reuven and Shimon. Umamaladcha shalat achreim l'chayu al shem achem yikru b'nachlasam. Va'ani bevoi mipadan mesa lai Rachel be'eretz kanan b'derech ba'od kibras aretz. And when I was traveling, Rachel, your mother, my beloved, he's speaking to his beloved son Yosef, your mother, Rachel, she's Mesa Alai. She died. What does it mean, Mesa Alai? How would you translate that?
Sounds like it's his fault. Like on me?
On me?
Yeah.
Like his fault?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's something, it's a strange language. Mesa Alai. Mesa Alai. I think is profound agony over the loss of Rachel. Like, he felt that death the most. It was like she died a lie. You know, that was still years later. That's what he's thinking. Rachel is is so in his mind that it's Mesa a lie. And he's talking to her beloved son and his beloved son Yosef. And then in Pasuchet, and Yisrael saw Bnei Yosef, and he said, who are these? What does that mean when he says, who are these? He doesn't know who Ephraim and Manasseh is. They just came with Yosef. He saw them. What does it mean when he says, who are these? So there are two stories going on here. There's a story of Yaakov as the father and grandfather of these children, about Rachel, who's dying alai, about his mother and grandmother. And then there's the story of Yisrael, who's seeing the generations and the national future. And the bracha that he gives to Ephraim and Manasseh, Vayomer Yisrael el Yosef, as they come closer and he puts his hands on. And he says the bracha of Amalach HaGoel, Osimi Korah, Yivarech et Anarim Ve'ikarav Em Shmi V'Shem Avosai Avram Yitzchak. Meaning all this is Yisrael about their future. So you have two stories that are parallel. You have the story of Yaakov saying goodbye to his son and his grandchildren. And you have the story of a patriarch who's giving his last words to his descendants to set up his national destiny. Okay? And you see these stories converge if you go all throughout Vayechi. It's the personal with the national. You know, what does it mean when Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu Lomes? What does it mean, Yaakov Avinu Lomes? The Torah speaks about clearly that he died. What does Yaakov Avinu Lomes mean? What does that mean? So Yaakov died. But Yaakov Avinu, as Yisrael, he never died. Okay, he lived forever. That was the national destiny of Yisrael. And what you have at the end of Vayechi, which is really the culmination of the stories, all these stories are layered. Because the story is about people, but the story is about our destiny. Of Maisa Avos Simon Lebanim. You have the personal and the national always intertwined. You know, and for me, this story is really symbolic of one of the great challenges and opportunities in our lives today, which is about the personal and the national, and how to intertwine them. And if you follow Vayechi, as you follow, you continue reading the parsha, you'll see that it's almost like in the same pasuk, the Yaakov and Yisrael collide. They're brought closer and closer together until they're mentioned in the same pasuk, because it becomes the same. It's the same person. It's the same person. So, if you think about your own life and the way we make decisions and run our lives, it's sometimes hard to think about both at the same time. This is what I found. I found it in my own life. That there are times that we think of ourselves nationally in the collective picture, and there are times we think of ourselves very personally, and we don't think about the national picture. I'll give you some examples. If I asked, I'll ask you, it wouldn't be a test case, where should you live? What would you say? Where should you live? Yeah.
Israel.
By a show of hands, how many people think the answer to the question of where should you live is Israel? Okay. Why does every single person here think the answer to the question, almost every single person, think the answer to the question of where should you live is Israel? Why is that what you think the answer is? Actually, that's a great question. Why do you think that's what the answer... Everybody here agrees that's what the answer... Where should you live? Why do you think that that's what everyone agrees to? Yeah.
Because our identities don't just remain individual identities. They're an identity that's a national identity. The national identity of Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael.
So the national identity of Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. And I just translate it a little... You've been educated your whole lives, especially in your year in Israel. How many people went to Israel for a year? Okay, you've all been educated that the answer to that question is Israel. And if you don't live in Israel, why would you not live in Israel? Why would you not live in Israel? Yeah.
I think if you think that you can best fulfill your tafkid in Hatzlaris, then...
I want to talk about that answer. That's a great, that's a really interesting phrase. Where can you best fulfill your tafkid? Your name is again?
Adira.
Adira. It's a very interesting phrase. So let's get to that, like where you can best fulfill your tafkid. But where should you live is Israel. And actually, let's talk about best tafkid. What should your profession be? What should your profession be? I'm curious. I mean, is there an answer to that question? What should your profession be?
Personal answer or like everyone's?
I just asked the question. I also asked where should you live? Everybody was able to answer that unanimously. Now I'm asking what should your profession be? What should your profession be?
Helping others.
Helping others, interesting. Yeah, Sarah. Whatever your best contribution for Tikkun Olam is. Okay? Yeah.
Something you can do while earning a good salary.
Something that you can do while they'll earn a good salary. It's very important. Okay? Get that? Now, interestingly, there's not one answer that's across the board. Why is there not one answer across the board? Because, as you said, who said it was a personal question? Meaning you all naturally understand that it depends on who you... There is no answer to the question of what should you do. you know, it to help people to earn enough to fulfill your tafkid. Right? There's no one individual question. So I think that we think of ourselves often either nationally, like there's a should, or very personally. Like there are very real decisions that we're making that are dependent on who we are. And the question, and it's really the challenge of Yaakov, is how to interlock these two, so that you see every decision that you're making as not just a fulfillment of your personal, but also the national. I want to talk to you about that. That's Torah Tzion. That every decision that you're making is not just is personal and national at the same time. Is that you each are Yaakov and Yisrael. Now, I'm telling you, this is not obvious. So I was the rabbi of the Jewish Center. Anybody been to the Jewish Center? The Jewish Center in Manhattan? Nobody's been to the Jewish Center. It used to be a very hot place. I guess I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been.
Yeah, so it's a great Upper West Side. It's very happy. It was the very popular. I lived on 86th and Central Park West. Right? I lived on 86th Central Park West. I had a great shul, doing wonderful things to the kahal. I love the kehillah. I love them. We just had recently a shir that I gave to them. It was like a homecoming. You know, I really love, and I remember being there. I remember having a conversation with Rabbi Murray, Rabbi Rosenzweig, who was the one, by the way, who first pointed out to me about Yisrael and Yaakov as being individual versus national. In Parshas Vayechi, you see it most profoundly, Rabbi Amori. And I remember speaking to Rabbi Rosenzweig as the rabbi of the Jewish Center, wonderful kahal, my family was happy, everybody's good, and saying to him, you know, I feel so guilty that I'm not living in Israel. Like, I should be living in Israel. I feel so guilty. I feel like it's a guilt. And he said to me, you know, Ari, maybe you should or should not, maybe it's right for you or it's not, but there is no need for you to feel guilt. Like, guilt is not a factor here. Like, you're making your decisions and what's best for you, Am Yisrael, your tafkid, etc. It's not guilt. You know, but it was actually hard to leave that. And then I made Aliyah, and we moved to Neve Daniel. How many people have been to Neve Daniel? Okay. So you've moved to Neve Daniel. And life is really, Baruch Hashem, well. And I remember coming back to America and hearing a rabbi say the following words. We are all hypocrites, including me. We're hypocrites. Because we always say we believe in Israel. We should live in Israel. And I'm not living in Israel. And I am a hypocrite. But we should remember that we should always live in Israel. And I thought to myself, you know, that is such a terrible message. Because if you're a hypocrite, but living in Israel, okay, I'll be a hypocrite for Shabbos. I mean, okay, we'll choose. Like how, and but the sense that the rabbi clearly felt, the guilt that he felt about that he wasn't living in Israel was so oppressive to him, it was so onerous, that it came out. And I remember thinking to myself that I don't feel any guilt about that. Because I made Aliyah. I had no guilt about that. Okay, you think that's obvious. But I'd say there's no guilt, I made Aliyah. And that helped me when I received the call about YU. And, you know, because I knew that I could do that, I've done that, and I was thinking about whether we should go, whether I should come back to Yeshiva University or not. Like, that sense of where should I be, I didn't have that. The question was, where, for my family, and for my tafkid, personally, where is the best for me, my family, my contribution to Am Yisrael and the national picture, where would it be best for that to be? And the first thing is, of course, your family. Meaning, where is it best? You know, can, you know, what would happen if this journey happened? You know, and then where you place your tafkid, where do you place your... But there's no more should. And it dawned on me a couple of things. Number one, there's no lechatchila in the world. Right? Often if I'd ask you, you'd say, lechatchila, you should live, you should do X. Life is b'diavad. Life is b'diavad. Because life, every decision you make, you're bringing your whole life into it. Right? There's no lechatchila. It's, you actually have to make a decision that's based on who you are and your circumstance. There is no answer to where should you live. It's who you are. Everything is b'diavad, right? And then you make decisions based on that. You know, and then that's the first thing that occurred to me. And the second is that it was really missing the sense of purpose to people living in the diaspora. There's a real missing the sense of purpose. If I asked you how to be a religious Zionist today, what would you say? How can one be a religious Zionist? How can one be a religious Zionist? Yeah.
By taking messages of Artisan,
by taking, wow, that's a sophisticated answer. Taking messages of the life in Eretz Yisrael and doing what with them?
Either inculcating or promoting them.
And inculcating and promoting them wherever you are. That's a sophisticated answer. Okay, let's hold that in abeyance because I want to get back to that. What most people would say, if I say, how do you be a religious Zionist? What would be the number one answer you would say? How do you be a religious Zionist?
Make Aliyah.
Number one answer. Move to Israel. Make Aliyah. Totally right. Absolutely right. Okay, what's the number two way to be a religious Zionist?
Supporting Israel.
Okay, supporting Israel. That'll be the number two way of being a religious Zionist. So I've written, we just had a tribute volume to Rabbi Lam in Tradition, that I think that there's fundamentally a different understanding of religious Zionism. That Zionism is about Yeshua, is about redemption. You know, and that's really how we shape Yeshiva University. We're just talking about in this workshop about the five core Torah values. What are our five core Torah values? The base is that we start from emes. We start from truth, which is Hashem giving the Torah to Moshe at Har Sinai. And that's the core. You know, that's the beginning. We begin at revelation, and we end at redemption. And we end at redemption. You know, if I asked you, somebody told me the story that a guy came over to meet Rabbi Steinsaltz. And he said, Rabbi Steinsaltz, tell me a little bit about yourself. So we started telling him, you know, I do this, I do that. He goes, no, start earlier. I said, okay, you know, I grew up here, I went to Yeshiva X. He goes, no, start earlier. I said, you want me to tell you about my parents and my grandparents? He goes, yeah, tell me about yourself. And he started telling about his grandparents and about his parents. Where does your story start? Where does your story start? Does it begin when you're born? Actually, your story begins much earlier than that. If you want to know about you, you have to speak about your parents. You have to speak about your grandparents and where they're from. And that's the Jewish story. The Jewish story isn't just when you're born. The story began much earlier. And we date it at the revelation at Har Sinai. That's the beginning of our story. And it ends at Geula, at Sion. It begins at Emes, and it ends at Sion. You know, in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Like, that whole arc is the beginning. It starts at Sinai, and it ends in justice for all. That is the beginning and end of the story. And what we're doing at YU is we're teaching you how to bend that arc, how to bring us closer to Geula. Okay? And to shape who you are Okay, to bend that arc and be part of that great story. The greatest journey, the Jewish journey in history. That's the arc. That's what we're doing. That's who you are. It begins not when you're born and when you die. It begins much earlier. Okay? And you've put yourself into that story. And how to shape your identity and your decisions, not just on what's best, just thinking about locally, but how your decisions locally affect the broader story. And that religious Zionism isn't just about Israel, but Israel itself is a vehicle to bring Geula, to get to redemption. And there's a way that you could go to redemption and help by making Aliyah. Of course, you should. You know, we encourage everyone to do that. But whether one makes Aliyah or not, one should picture themselves as fundamentally part of the Jewish story, that their tafkid, their job, what's your tafkid, is to move history forward. How do you move history forward if you're in the Galut? How do you move history forward in the diaspora? What would you say? How would you move history forward? What can you do to move history forward? Yeah.
Educate the next generation.
Yafeh. Educate the next generation. That's a great one. As parents, as grandparents, as members of a community, as people who care about the Jewish people, educate the next generation. That is one way of moving history forward, where you see yourself as part of a greater process, that you have a tafkid, you're part of the greater Jewish story. Any other way? How else would you be a part of the move history forward? Okay, this is essential to a YU education I'm about to tell you. I'll tell you with a story, because I'm a rabbi. You know, I was at this conference, it was really amazing. This is, by the way, a story as an intro to the story. I was at, before COVID, there was this conference from the CCCU. It's the Christian colleges and universities, the conference of college, Christian college universities. And I was on the keynote panel, right? They had a somebody, the president of BYU, the Mormons, they had a Catholic president of the university, they had a Protestant president of the university, and they had Yeshiva University, and they actually had this one Muslim university or college in this country who was there. And so I represented the Jewish people. That's why I find myself often. That's why I was at the Kotel representing the Jews in the bridge between the Jews and the Israel diaspora. But there I was representing the Jewish people. And it was like every answer that they asked, every question they asked me, I always answered with a story. So at the end, somebody came over to me. He's like, wow, it's like Seinfeld. Like, you like do the answer. I'm like, that is definitely not allowed. Like, you're not allowed to say that. But it was so unusual for them to answer the question. Every question was answered with a story. So now, my pre-story to the story, I forgot what I was talking about. What was the story I was about to tell? What were we talking about? Say again? Move history forward. Right. So, a parent comes to me, and he says, I have a question, Rabbi. My son, he used to daven, long tefillah, learn all day long at YU. It was like really a great YU, story. And then he landed this incredible job at an investment firm. So amazing. And now he's working all the time. And he's wondering, like, where is his Avodas Hashem? Like, he has so little time to learn he has a minyan, he does dafyomi, but where is his Avodas Hashem? So I said to him, at YU, what we teach is that your Avodas Hashem is in the hours that you're working. That too is your Avodas Hashem. How you carry yourself the integrity, the ethics, the honesty, the compassion, the kindness, the menschlichkeit. Okay, when people know that you're Jewish and that you're acting with that, what he's doing in his hours, the activities that he's doing to increase human flourishing, his ability to even have the parnasa to raise the next generation and to give tzedakah. All of that is avodas Hashem. You know, it's not a coincidence that tefilas mincha, and we learn in Brachos, what's the makor, what's the source of mincha? Vayitze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh lifnot erev. That Yitzchak was lasuach basadeh. What does lasuach basadeh mean? To converse. What does it mean, converse? So Chazal say it's the source for tefilas mincha. But lasuach, the pshat, as the Rashbam says, means to plant. Now Yitzchak was a farmer. Right? He wasn't a shepherd like the other avos, and that's a very important part of the story, but not for now. He was a farmer. And lasuach means he was planting. That's why he was in the field. He loved the field. He always was planting in the field. He was a farmer. But it's not a coincidence that Chazal say that lasuach means to daven, and that lasuach is also to plant. Because the ideal is you're planting and you're davening in the same place. And more than that, you're planting, if you're doing it for the right purpose, is your davening as well. That's exactly, it's that place. It's that work that you're doing. By bringing your values, by internalizing it and bringing your values into the world, okay, you're spreading God's Torah and spreading God's message. By raising the next generation, by impacting and influencing your community, by thinking about how you can impact the Jewish people and your very role model for the world, all of this is part of the goal of moving history forward. Vitzipisa the Yeshua, one of the six questions, the Gemara in Shabbos says that you're going to be asked, on Me'av Esrim Shana at 120, you're going to be asked a number of questions. One of the questions is, did you seek? Did you work towards the salvation? It doesn't say, did you make Aliyah? It doesn't say, did you go to APAC? It says, Vitzipisa li Yeshua. Did you seek? Did you work for? Did you anticipate the salvation? And every single day of your life, every decision you make, is infused with the possibility of bringing the Yeshua even closer by embodying and living your values. That is a way that you move history forward. And that's a way uniquely, I would tell you, the Yeshiva University students are capable of doing. Because you graduate and your expertise, and whatever your tafkid is, in your family, in your community, and the Jewish people, in the world, you graduate with the skill set, competencies, mindset for enormous success, which enables you, whatever field you're in, to have enormous impact, professionally and personally, with the capabilities and talents and skills. I don't think there's been another time in Jewish history when a Jewish woman could have the impact around her, family, community, Jewish people, and the world like it is possible today. I don't think that existed in history. And Vitzipisa Yeshua is a direction to think of your decisions in your life as part of that great story and helping move that story forward. And that, I would say, is Torah Tzion. And we talk about the five core Torah values we just workshopped before. That we started MS, we started truth, we start at revelation and we end at redemption. And here's what Yeshiva University does. The MS is the roots, is the Torah the MS that you're learning. It's the roots, and of course even the Mada that helps shape. It's all these roots that you're learning, the Torah, the Mada, that form the tree, that form the Adam, the Torah Adam, the person, that develops who you are in all of your capabilities, so that you can bring it out in Chaim and Chesed, bring it out to life with compassion in order to get to Tzion, in order to get to redemption. And if you are able to translate the MS that you're studying and bring it out into the world with kindness, you will help bring the Jewish people to Tzion towards the ultimate redemption. And the key is Yaakov and Yisrael. It's to see your decisions not as bifurcated. Not that there's a should. Not that there's a should and there's and this is what I want to do, but that every decision you make is infused with your personality. What is the best decision where you're using your God-given skills and blessings, okay, to develop yourselves in a way that's going to also help Jewish values flourish and spread and bring us closer to Yeshua. If you do that, then every moment in your life will be filled with Kedusha. Every moment of your life will be meaningful. Every moment. Because everything you're doing, from when you wake up to you go to sleep, even the sleeping you do, is Avodas Hashem. Where is Avodas Hashem? The Rambam says if you're sleeping with the right intent, that's Avodas Hashem. Everything you do in the context of Jewish history, of Yaakov and Yisrael, becomes Avodas Hashem. Every class you take, every homework assignment you do, both in the Torah and the Mada, that goes into forming who you are, when you translate that into the world, every action you will do, in your family, your community, even at work, is infused with the spirit of Itzipisa LeYeshua. And that's what Yeshiva University tries to teach. That we're deeply rooted and forward focused. So often, I find in our community that people view, if you think about the movement that we think of ourselves, it's circular. It's parents raising children who become parents who have children and become parents who become children. It's circular. Okay, but there's a whole other motion that we need to make part of our lives. And to me, it was captured really well when I came here from Israel, after I made Aliyah, and I came back to Yeshiva University, and I was having these conversations and interviews whether I was going to take on this presidency or not. So I remember I read the ads that Yeshiva University was putting out. And one of the ads caught my attention. It said, "Sacrifice nothing, achieve everything." Sacrifice nothing, achieve everything, Yeshiva University. And I said to the people around the table, I said, you know, it's so amazing. I made Aliyah, and I now come from a community that absolutely believes in what they're doing. My son was in Gavati, sitting on the border of Shechem. That we believe so much in what we're doing, we're willing to sacrifice everything. And you're willing to sacrifice nothing? Is there nothing that's worth it? And it occurred to me that what's missing is a motion, that they're thinking circular. But in Israel, they're thinking forward. They're thinking that they're involved in a great project. And they're moving it forward. And they're part of Jewish destiny, and they're moving it forward. And one of the reasons that I came after making Aliyah, that I came and took this position, is to give this spirit of forward focus. What does it mean to be a Zionist? It means to be Vitzipisa Yeshua in every aspect of your life. That we're not just deeply rooted, but we're forward focused. And every decision you make then becomes part of the great Jewish story. It's Yaakov and it's Yisrael. And it's by interweaving these aspects in your life as one that you sanctify your minutes, your hours, and your days. You know, and that's what we're doing at YU, from revelation to redemption, and you're the vehicle that takes it to bring it out in Chaim and Chesed and to get us to Tzion. So it's Asara B'Teves. You know, it's a Sar B'Teves, it's about the Churban, and I think about the going underneath the Kotel and seeing all of the places that were excavated. And you're there 2,000 years ago. Like, you could walk in the street, and it's like you have to excavate. It's like 2,000 years, living 2,000 years. And that's what happens. When the years continue, more dirt comes. Sometimes you need to excavate your own lives. You need to excavate to find your core and bring out and all of that ossified, you know, as the years go on. And the way to stay fresh and not to think about that, and not for that not to happen, is by keeping in mind B'tzipis Yeshua every day of your life and all of your decisions. So that Asar B'Teves isn't a day where we're mourning for a lost temple, but it becomes a day where we're celebrating our new temple. And that all of us are part of the great process of bringing the Geula. We live in Reishit Smichat Geulateinu, and the final Geula comes soon for the merit of all of your work. It's wonderful to be with you here tonight. Thank you.
Tremendous thank you, Sir Berman, the President Berman.